Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, John Engineering and Producing. And we are ready for the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, the 6th day of December 2022, celebrating 12 full years at the end of the year here on the radio. And we'll begin our 35th year on Tucson television and radio in January. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. It is KVOI, our worldwide live listening. You can listen to the show live at buckmastershow.com, which is also the place for an extensive, pretty much 12 full years of programs archived at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. What say we go to the live line? And our expert on Washington and governmental affairs, Terry Bracey, who has had a unique role in representing Tucson's interests, beginning with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. And you can also read Terry's columns. He is a op-ed columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great. I'm a little sad. I was thinking about Congressman Colby, Jim Colby, who passed away over the weekend. Although we thought different politically, I had the greatest respect for Jim. And, in my era, it was very difficult to be a gay American and have the courage still to go out and run for public office. And I always thought the greatest thing about Jim was his courage. I thought he was a very courageous guy.
Yeah.
Just terrific.
I'm glad we could spend a half an hour yesterday talking about his legacy here on the program. I mean, people like Jim Colby, you wonder if we'll see the likes of a man like that that could work so easily, Terry Bracey, across the aisles.
Indeed he did. And before we get started, Bill, I just wanted to say a word or two about what you've done.
Oh.
We're coming to the end of another year. It's just remarkable. When you started this little radio show that has grown to become a really important community forum, and, I travel, and as I go across the country, I listen to these talk shows and whatnot. They're all full of anger and angst and whatnot, but you've managed to find that formula somehow that people can feel comfortable that they come on your show and there'll be a logical discussion about issues. And so I have to congratulate you, partner. You've done a wonderful job.
Thank you very much, Terry. Very much appreciated. Okay, we are coming to the end of a long, intense political year. What's at the top of your list of the stories that we'll be looking back politically as the top story of the 2022 calendar?
Well, yeah, obviously, the election. But behind the scenes, I see two things that we've talked about that are happening that I think could profoundly affect our democracy.
I know you have been concerned about the Supreme Court, right?
Yes, indeed. And that's one of them, Bill.
Is it because, I was just going to say, Terry, is it because of the way that the justices are appointed, or how they are behaving?
Well, Bill, it's both. First, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, completely politicized our highest court by agreeing basically only to approve conservatives for open seats. So when he was majority leader, he refused to consider President Obama's nominees and used all kinds of excuses that simply didn't apply when his controversial nominees stepped forward, and he jammed them through. It's really kind of amazing. Billy's packed that court with right-wing justices. And I know that that Senator Collins particularly was very concerned as these different judges filed by about Roe v. Wade. And Senator Collins is a Republican from Maine. She doesn't want to make anybody look bad, but she put the question to each of them, Barrett and Kavanaugh and so on, about Roe v. Well, they lied. Two justices going on to the United States Supreme Court flatly lied, according to Senator Collins, about whether Roe v. Wade was settled law. So I think there's a lot going on there. And then, Bill, there's this whole thing about these guys living high off the hog.
Hmm. Yeah. How high, Terry Bracey?
Well, you know, if you want to dream about a job, you know, get a job on the Supreme Court. Number one, Bill, and the reason I think this is coming to the fore is because there's a new tone of arrogance led by Justice Alito, and people are starting to find out that, you know, these people are being treated in a very special way. If you're a member of the House or Senate or of any court below the Supreme Court, you live by a very strict code of ethics. Bill, do you know that the Supreme Court has no code of ethics?
I did not know that. Didn't know that.
And refuses to adopt one.
Hmm.
So the truth of the matter is that the justices have all kinds of ways in which they can live far beyond their means. They oftentimes take expensive trips. They're given summer assignments to teach for a lot of money at some law school. There are all these things going on. So that's one problem I have with them. And the other is the political activism. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think of this. Judge Thomas's wife was among those who was pushing to deny the vote. A justice of the Supreme Court, his wife, was one of the lead lobbyists trying to keep President Trump in office. So I think that I think they've gone way off track, Bill, and I think that in the next year there's going to be a lot of headlines about it.
Terry, let's talk about what you see as the second development.
Well, again, this is sort of not yet out on center stage, but what's happening is the two parties obviously are deeply invested in the 2024 race already. But the Democrats are really shaking things up, and what they've done for the last 50 years, if you were Moe Udall running for president or you were Jimmy Carter, you went to Iowa first and you talked to the farmers. Well, Iowa's gone. They're not going to do that anymore. They figured out that that this formula isn't really working.
Huh.
And now they're rearranging the primary schedule behind the scenes. And it's going to be goodbye Iowa, much less focus on New Hampshire, and hello Georgia, hello Michigan, hello big states. And all of this, I think, is going to be done in an effort to put the Democratic Party back in touch with its base, working Americans, union Americans, et cetera.
Well, it certainly.
So I think those are going to be two big issues in the next year.
Two big issues, yep. It's going to be different, right?
It's going to change. It always does, and that's good.
Hey, Terry, I got to shout out to you. You were very kind to give some kudos to me at the beginning of the show, but a shout out to you. In fact, it might have been our visit right on, Election Day, and you were saying, no red wave, Bill, no red wave. And I'm going, I didn't say it publicly on the air, but people could, if they had a TV camera here, they'd see me shaking my head. But you were right on that, on this election, Terry Bracey.
Well, Bill, thank you. It's just candidates matter, you know, and we relearn the lesson time and time again. And I think what's happened is that a lot of the media here in Washington has gotten lazy. and they pick up the talking points of one party or the other. And the Republicans were extremely adept at this and had sold the idea that this was going to be a Republican wave and tried to discourage others from voting. And it just wasn't going to be that I could see. Just based on my experience in the past, I've, you know, run campaigns and been around the game. So, yeah, I was right this time, but I've been wrong before.
Well, you were right, and kudos to you. And Terry Bracey, all the best to you and your lovely family this holiday season. And we'll talk in the new year. Thank you, Terry Bracey.
All right, Bill. Bye.
Always a pleasure. Mona's Danish Bakery. It's always a pleasure to visit Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. How about a Danish Kringle on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve? Great way to start the big day. Mona's northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. We had lunch up there Sunday. Great lunches. We talk a lot about the breakfast. Lunches are great, too. Open at 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, 7 to 2 on Sunday, closed Monday. And the new website looks really good, monasdanishbakery.com, very user-friendly. Check it out. Put in your order for your Kringle for the Christmas morning. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman, and Shelley is just shaking his head. It is one of those Tuesdays on the street. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the Tundra Wilderness and see the Northern Lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Who let Scrooge into Wall Street?
Oh, I don't know.
The last two days have been kind of bleak.
Well, John in the control room is blaming me for
everything.
Yeah, he
is. I heard John say, Shelley,
right.
What the heck's going on? 2 days, back to back, put it all together, and we're close to 1,000 points.
Well, we got two things really
down.
Affecting the market right now today. I mean, we've had a pretty good November, and in fact, a very good November, but... we had an unemployment report on Friday that was simply marvelous. It was, you know, another 268,000 people employed, and the unemployment rate stayed at around 3.7%. And, you know, you would think that would be an excuse for everybody to cheer.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be a great way to start a week.
Unfortunately, that made people think, well, if the economy is still that strong, maybe inflation's going to continue to be a problem.
Mm.
And so who knows what the Fed is going to do next week on Wednesday.
These people overthink a lot of this
stuff. I mean, but that's what they're paid to do, right?
Yeah.
And then we got a bad number this morning on the balance of trade deficit. What's happened, of course, is the balance of trade deficit has gone up, which means that we're importing a lot more than we're exporting. Well, what a surprise, Bill. After all, with the dollar as strong as it's gotten because the Fed has been raising interest rates, nobody can afford to buy U.S. products, and so they're not.
So on and on it goes.
Now, we'll see. Look, the Fed has got this really bizarre charge that in order to meet their goals, they have to both keep employment at a rate that they think is the preferred full employment rate, and they have to keep inflation down. And those two things fly in the face of each other.
And thousands of people get hurt.
And thousands of people, when the Fed says inflation is our priority, that means you're going to have layoffs. You're going to have people not working and being let off. And that's exactly what's happening. In fact, I think one of the big brokerage houses this morning.
2% Morgan Stanley laying off 2%.
Yeah. So there are, look, the people at brokerage houses probably can afford to be laid off. But nevertheless, when what you do with one hand is slapped by the other hand and vice versa, that's not a job I necessarily want to do, but nobody's asked me to do it.
It's just tough, though. These layoffs come at the holiday season.
And it's the end of the year. And
yeah,
of course, that's
on
terrible.
And on. As I say, on and on it goes.
So we still have the rest of December. I think the markets are going to be fine. But it's getting harder and harder for the markets to overcome the obstacles that would bring them into positive territory for the year. And so, unlike Terry Bracey, whose forecasts always come true, you know, maybe mine won't this time.
Somehow I think Santa Claus will be in the building at some point on Wall Street.
So I have to depend upon a reindeer to make my stuff come true?
Yeah,
my
there
God.
You go. I do want to note, today, I believe, Shelley Fishman, Medicare open enrollment is ending.
Yes.
So
this is important. We've talked about it a couple of times on the show. If you are eligible for Medicare, if you have Part B, and you haven't at least informed yourself fully as to what the advantages or disadvantages of Medicare Advantage are, you should do that. Do not ignore the fact that some people are very, very well served by the fact that if you have a Medicare Advantage plan, which is also called Medicare Part C, in many cases as an individual, you can be well advantaged through optioning those kinds of plans. Very often you pay nothing extra for it. It's the same charge that's taken out for Medicare Part B, but it includes a lot of things that Medicare Part B doesn't include, including a very substantial Medicare Part D, which is folded in to that Part C option. So if you're spending a lot of money on drugs, it's very important that you at least find out what your options are. Time is running out. It ends today. Now, there are some plans you can sign up for even after the open enrollment program, but they're very limited. So, you know, if you've been deluged with information on all of media over the past couple of weeks about Medicare Advantage and call this number, call that number, you know, call an independent broker if you can. But by all means, if they're still taking calls and you have questions, get those questions answered. And if it turns out that that's the right thing for you to do, by all means, do it.
So it's kind of a impossible situation. It seems to be an impossible situation.
Yeah, it seems like it's too good to be true.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is it so good for individuals? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, a very wise person once said, if it seems too good to be true, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it is.
But in this particular case, for many, many individuals who have Medicare Part B, Medicare Advantage is a big step up in benefits for no additional cost to you. That said, there are no free lunches in this world.
No.
And so the question is, who's paying the bill?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So the insurance companies are getting your Part B contributions directly from you. So that's one way they get paid. The other way they get paid is every time your doctor files a claim with Medicare, it goes to your insurance company. And guess who pays them? Medicare pays them. So that what's happening is they're kind of getting a double whammy. They're getting the Medicare Part B piece that's paid through Social Security, and they're getting paid on a case-by-case basis from Medicare itself. What's more, these companies, the minute you sign up, will want to make a house call at your house. They'll send a registered nurse to take your what they're doing is a wellness exam.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing, Bill, is they're trying to get as many diagnoses on the books for you as possible so that any time you are treated, they can say this is a pre-existing condition.
Ooh.
And Medicare will pay them the money without any challenge.
I see.
So now, I'm not saying that it's a bad idea for you as an individual to have as much expert advice as you possibly can.
Mm.
But we're going to be hearing more about this in the future as it becomes well known that this is costing Medicare more money than perhaps Medicare Part B would cost them. Mm. Why is that important? Because Medicare is going to go bankrupt if they don't fix it.
Mm.
There are ways of fixing it. And, you know, those ways are going to be somewhat painful. Either they have to increase taxes or they have to increase the age at which Medicare kicks in. They got to do something. But it's the third rail of politics. It's like Social Security. It's the third rail of politics. And nobody's got the courage to say this is a problem that we've got to fix.
Can you make one call if you have questions to the insurance company rather than the government?
Great point. That's a really great point. I have Medicare Advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I call my insurance company. Pick up after a couple of rings.
But rather than being put on hold from Medicare.
You know, Medicare or Social Security for that matter, it's ours.
Of course.
So, again, as an individual, it seems like it's too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
As a society, it may in fact be too good to be true.
Mm. Okay, getting back to the markets.
Oh, I knew you would.
Of course. So how are we doing as we close out the year?
Well, it's tough to say. The markets are down about 15 or 16% for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked through November like we were headed for at least a flat or maybe a somewhat positive year. You know, we're running out of time for that. it's Christmas. There's always a December kind of burst of energy in the markets. Let's see what happens. I got my fingers crossed for next Wednesday's announcement from the Fed. If they hold their increase to a quarter of a point or a half a point instead of three quarters of a point, and if they start saying the right things about inflation,
you could see the beginning of a big year-end rally.
But we have to see some real movement on inflation. We also have to see in 2 weeks the revised GDP number continuing to look as good as it seemed to a couple of weeks ago. If those all come together, then I think we could see a nice rally by the end of the year. You know, there's nothing sacred about January 1st except the prediction I made, and, you know, that ought to be sacred, right?
Half point increase would be nice, and what also would be nice, Mr. Powell not making any comments.
Or not sticking his foot in his mouth and, you know, spooking the markets.
Just be quiet, okay?
Please.
Let's do the half point and then no comment.
There you go.
All right, Shelley, have a great rest of the week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, very much ready for the holidays. Over at their sister business, which is on the 13-acre Green Things site, is Zocalo Village, and I strongly suggest a visit next time you're over at Green Things because they've got some wonderful holiday items, including punched tin Christmas trees. Give that a look, and also, when you're there, pick up a poinsettia or two. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things since 1970, and they are open daily. The Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Margaret Regan is the author of two prize-winning books on immigration, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, looks at the fate of undocumented immigrants who are arrested long after they have established lives and families in the United States. Her other very popular book is The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories, Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the American-Mexico Borderlands. Margaret Regan is an award-winning journalist. She's been writing for the Tucson Weekly, primarily about the art scene here in Tucson, since 1990. Margaret, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. I'm hearing a lot of buzz about this Center for Creative Photography show that will be coming up about Linda McCartney's photographs.
I'm very excited about it. You know, I had heard of Linda McCartney before, and I didn't really know that she was really a good photographer. And, of course, being married to Paul McCartney, you know, people didn't think of her as a person of her own and a person with, you know, a great career and doing all kinds of stuff. So I'm just so excited to learn so much of this. I've been working on it for a couple of days now. And just this morning, the Center for Creative Photography sent me some of the pictures, and they're really good. I mean, I was surprised, you know. I just had no idea. But so this is an exciting thing for Tucson. This is the first time they're having a big show of hers. So I'm working on it, and I thought I would just do a little work in progress here and read a little bit about what I'm going to say when I get this published.
Did she?
Is that okay?
I was just going to say, I guess her first break came at Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before she got to the Rolling Stone, you know, I have to tell the story that
sure.
she made these great pictures for the Rolling Stones, and she was not really well known there. She happened to get herself into a place where they were, you know, hope they were young and they were hoping to get people to, you know, go over and like them. And so they let her in, and she at this event in New York, and she made these wonderful pictures
for Town and Country.
But then really this stuff was so great that she, you know, rapidly got assignments from other magazines, and you know, in New York in 1960s, there were all these young rising stars, and she took photos of all of them, from Janis Joplin to Aretha Franklin, Jimi Hendrix, and Eric Clapton, and of course the Beatles, but we don't have to keep talking about them in this because it's her story. But so after doing all that, she got a big break at Rolling Stone magazine, which is, you know, the great magazine for rock and roll photography, and she was the first woman to get the coveted spot of the cover. So that was really pretty great.
So when is this show going to be?
It's not until February, so I'm all excited about it right now, but you can't run out and get it. But I think it's the 25th or something of February. So, but I just want to tell you about the little part a lot of this has a lot to do with Tucson, of all places.
Wow.
You know, she was from New York, but she came to the U of A to study art. But she was just doing art history. She wasn't planning to become a photographer. But a friend of hers persuaded her to go to a class at Tucson Art Center. You remember that? It was the precursor of today's Museum of Art.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember.
Yeah, and there was this wonderful woman named Hazel Archer, who I wrote a story about her a couple years ago. She was a wonderful photographer and a wonderful teacher. And Linda said years later, she said, she didn't want to go. She thought they were just going to talk about the camera. But instead, all she wanted to do was to look and really look at these beautiful photos that Hazel presented. And, you know, they were the likes of Dorothea Lange, some of my favorite artists, Walker Evans, Ansel Adams. And so it was because of that, her time in Tucson and with this teacher, that's when she really became a photographer. So, you know, it's just a really nice thing for us. And apparently they're going to be showing some pictures of Tucson that have never been shown before. So that's exciting.
Yeah, and of course, the McCartneys had roots here in Tucson. They had the ranch out on the far east side. But
yeah.
I think it's really great that there is that connection to our area through the photographs.
I know. I've always wanted to see Paul McCartney somewhere, but I never did. But you, did you have a sighting of him anywhere?
Well, I did see him, but not in Tucson. I saw him with 50,000 other people at Comiskey Park in Chicago in August of 1966. And I can't remember much of the songs that were sung because there was so much noise.
Everybody's singing, right?
Yeah, you didn't hear anything. But no, that's going to be a great show. I've got a minute or so. Speaking of the visual arts, did you want to talk a little bit about the show at Pima College West?
Yeah, they have, you know, speaking of more female photographers, there's still time to see this show. It's ending this weekend. But it's a really interesting thing. There are 31 women photographers, and this show is called Invisible Borders because some of the women are from Mexico and some of the women are from the United States. And David Andres, who runs the gallery, said that this is a collaboration between the two nations, and it brings to life the dream of having artists from both sides of the border temporarily making the division disappear. So, you know, we're talking all the time about the border, but this is some art that sort of erases the border and has people from both sides doing these interesting works.
So that's at the Bernal, Luis Carlos Bernal Gallery at Pima Community College West. And so that show is going to be up just through this weekend, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're going to be staying open on the weekend because there are other plays going on, and they always open up when there's a play there. So you have an extra time to get to see it.
And the Linda McCartney show, I just checked, that will be up on February 25th is the launch. And folks will have quite a bit of time to get over there and check it out through August 5th of 2023.
Right. So it's a big thing. And 176 pictures, so that'll be
176? Wow.
Yep. So it'll be fun. You can see I'm a fan, but I would say everybody should go.
How about Nutcrackers? Going to see any of the Nutcrackers?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the nice things about Ballet Tucson is this year, for the first time in many years, they're going to have live music. At the symphony. So that's a really great one to go to this year.
All right, Margaret Regan, we will look for your work in the Tucson Weekly, and of course, we'll see your work with your books. Any plans for a new book, or not right now?
Not really. I guess I should. People are always asking me that, but
You got enough. You got enough on your plate. All
I
right,
guess.
Margaret.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season.
Oh yeah, you too.
Thank
yeah.
you. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you talking about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I know many people have time off over the holidays, and if you are looking for a great getaway for a couple of days, how about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico? Just about a three-hour drive, not a bad drive at all. And certainly, they will. Whoever goes over there gets a very warm welcome in Silver City. And also, it's a great place to do some hiking, checking out some of that wonderful Victorian architecture. And the museum at Western New Mexico University has the finest collection of Mimbres pottery in the world. I mean, it is incredible. Go to southwestnewmexico.org to learn more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We're going to learn more about Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute, PSI, for nearly 50 years. In fact, not nearly, drop the nearly, 50 years, has been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. And Dr. Sykes joins us now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
Oh, just great, Bill. It's great to be here.
Well, there's some very interesting news from your neck of the woods. Turns out NASA may have landed on a Martian mega tsunami deposit nearly 50 years ago. What is this all about?
Well, this is some just wonderful work by one of our senior scientists, Alexis Rodriguez. And Alexis has always had this really great ability to look at terrain on Mars and visualize the processes that have been going on there. Now there's these dramatic features that were discovered, you know, many decades ago, called outflow channels, in which there was water erupting from the ground that formed an ocean covering the north pole of Mars back like 3.5 billion years ago. And when this ocean formed, what happened sometimes is that an asteroid might impact, right? And then you get tsunamis as a consequence of that big impact. Well, Alexis recognized that there were some land features near some of these earlier outflow channels that it seemed as though there was a large tsunami that had washed over that, you know, after the ocean was formed. And his work identified not just, you know, where that tsunami went, but also where it came from, the actual impact crater left from a 3-mile-wide object that hit Mars at this point in time while there was an ocean, and then caused a wave that was about 250 meters tall, shoving over the edges of this ocean, and it turned out to be right where Viking 1 landed, and another part where Pathfinder landed.
Huh.
And so when Viking 1 landed in this area, and it looked out over the surface of Mars and sees all these kind of boulders and stuff lying around, it wasn't quite the topography that people were expecting, based on just the outflow channel stuff. And his work, you know, looked at things more closely, given the better capabilities we have with the satellites orbiting Mars to look at things at higher resolution. And he found evidence for something washing in and then pulling out, you know, like you expect with a tsunami. And so it turns out that this is an extremely interesting area, and it is an area where you'd want to look for evidence of past life, which was one of the missions of Viking 1, but, you know, didn't quite have the equipment to do it. Because it was a lot of ocean sediments and rocks and debris that got pushed into this area.
I was just going to say, you talk about a serendipitous event. This is really it. On July 20th, 1976, Viking 1 lander landing in an area that was really something that was not expected.
Right. Right, and we're figuring out now about how it was unexpected, or why it didn't look like what we expected 50 years later, and so it's the early Mars. I mean, what a dramatic place, you know. You have this ocean, you have tsunamis that formed lakes and drainage channels and stuff, and it was a really dramatic period of time on warm Mars, which then cooled off, and the ocean ultimately, I don't think it sank into the ground or whatever, but we see, and there was a second mega tsunami later on, which he was able to identify, and so it's a Mars wasn't the boring dry place. Well, it's not boring, but it wasn't the dry, relatively inactive place that you see today. But it was really quite a dramatically active planet, you know, back all these millennia ago.
And your senior scientist, Dr. Rodriguez, how long did that take him to figure all of this out? It's pretty amazing stuff.
You know, I was talking to him for years. He'd show me stuff, you know, that he was like, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that. And I mean, really a brilliant guy, and just with some real deep instincts about how physical processes are manifest themselves at a large scale. And he also discovered some things that look like mud volcanoes in the vicinity of this stuff where he thinks, and I think it's referred to in the paper as places where life could have been active and in part caused these features to emerge.
So Mars was pretty wet back in the day. When did it start to dry out?
I think it was about 3 billion years ago or 2.5 billion years ago. It got pretty dry. I can't speak as a Martian myself, but it got colder. It got colder and drier, and ultimately the ocean went away. But there's still a lot of ice under the surface, which our scientists have seen with Mars Observer and other missions detecting through neutron spectroscopy ice under the surface. So you don't see it, but it goes down to like 60 degrees latitude in a lot of places. Potential resource for the future.
Before we let you go, Dr. Mark Sykes, the moon mission, they're coming back. The rocket's coming back.
The dummies.
Yeah. What are you hearing? Was it everything go as planned?
Everything that I've heard, it looked like it went out just as planned, that they were successful in their objectives, getting down to like 79 kilometers above the surface of the moon and orbiting it like kind of Apollo 8 and coming back. And old people can do the Apollo analogies, So, so it looks like it was very successful.
Well, it certainly took long.
We'll see what it leads to.
It took long enough and it cost enough. So I hope it was successful.
That's the main problem, is that when it's $4 billion a launch, then that gets to be tough.
Mm. So they come back and now we wait a long time again before anything else goes on with the moon?
Supposedly in the next few years there will be something actually landing, but they still have to develop some other vehicles and test that in the meantime.
It's been a good year, hasn't it, for the Planetary Science Institute based here in Tucson, hasn't it, Dr. Sykes?
Well, it's sure nice to be coming more out of COVID and be able to do more things. There's that. And we've been doing very well, as an organization and continuing to grow as we have over the past, couple of decades. And bringing on some very interesting new people in earth science and other areas.
All right. Well, your team's doing a great job. And people can find out more about Planetary Science Institute by going to, it's a real simple address, psi.edu for more information. Dr. Sykes, you and yours, I hope you have a lovely holiday season. Thank you, as always, for all of your monthly reports on our program. We very much appreciate it. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. Our Tuesday edition coming up tomorrow, have our monthly visit with Steve Kasachek. A lot to talk about, as usual, with Councilman Kasachek. And we'll have our Reed Park Zoo update, among other items on the agenda for the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, as we now plunge into December. Off to a pretty good start, I would say. All right. On behalf of the whole team here at Bustos Media Tucson, including John on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope you have a great afternoon.